Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity with your host, David Heimer.
Welcome, everybody, to Profiles in Prosperity. This is David Heimer. I'm delighted today to have Dale Minks with us. Dale has a great deal of experience in our industry. He's been in it a while. He's done a lot of different things. He is an industry consultant and coach. I have a great deal of respect for him. He's a very thoughtful guy. He's super nice. He's really smart. And I have already learned a lot of stuff from him. So, Dale, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. How did you get into this industry?
Well, I got into the trades right out of high school. Didn't go to college, and they said, go get a trade. So I went and got a trade. And so I've been working as an electrician, and I 41 years in the different trades. And the last 7 or 8 have been in the residential service field. The last 5 have been in coaching and training.
You are an expert at conducting ride-alongs, and I know you're actually an expert in a lot of stuff, but I've always been intrigued with ride-alongs and the fact that you've done a bunch of them over the years, you still do a bunch of them, and I think you're one of the people who've given a lot of thought to how they do them and what makes sense. And so I was wondering if we could talk about that today. Could you maybe tell us what your secrets are to a good ride-along and what are the benefits of ride-alongs?
Well, one of the most important things to ride-alongs is that whoever's riding with you should be quiet. They shouldn't be involved in the call. They should just be observing. Now, I actually run the call, which is something other people don't do. They let the technician run the call and they critique them. Mm-hmm. What I do is I actually run the call, offer the options, close the work, so that the new hire or the technician that I'm riding with actually gets to see how to do it and why we do certain things. When we just critique someone, anyone can figure out what someone does wrong, but I like them to see the actual how to do it right so that they have that pattern. If we're the experts as owners and experienced technicians, if we're the experts, we're the ones that should be leading the way so that the new hires can see exactly how it's done. So that's a big part right there, is that I don't allow anyone to practice on customers. I like to show them how to do it.
That actually makes a lot of sense. If you think about it, there's sort of a performance anxiety that takes over. You can be very comfortable at doing something, but knowing that somebody is watching you and going to critique every little thing that you do, even if they're not, you sort of feel that way, it's going to make the call so much more difficult, and I would think it's going to be a little bit awkward on the customer. Surely they are going to pick up on that as well.
It's very awkward for the customer. What happens is the technician, the new technician, is trying to impress the trainer or the person that's riding and forgets completely about the customer and what's good for the customer. Bottom line is, it has to be all about the customer. And if that experienced tech is in there and running the call properly, that new hire is going to see and understand how to go about it also.
Makes perfect sense. What else?
Well, let me talk about a couple of things that I've learned doing the ride-alongs. Is not everyone knows how to be quiet, and it's very important that if there's 2 people on a call, that one person has to be in control of the call. And even when you're running a call by yourself, you're the one that has to be in control of the call, not the customer. So if you have someone riding with you, and they're talking and you're talking, then the customer's kind of, you know, back and forth. And if for some reason you say something different than the other person, now all of a sudden all the credibility and confidence and trust that you've built with that customer so far could be thrown right out the window. So it's very important that only one person talks and only one person drives the call. Now, in doing ride-alongs over the years, hundreds of ride-alongs, I've realized that a lot of companies turn out their technicians way too soon. And I know we're busy. I know we have a lot to do and a lot of calls. But what happens is when we turn technicians out too soon, we get high turnover rate, we lose our customers, we hire technicians to generate revenue. Well, let's help them learn how to do that properly. And that way we're not practicing on our customers, we're not losing customers, we're not losing the new hires. It's very expensive, you know, to hire and find people and go through all the training. So slow that process down. And I know it's hard, but we need to slow this process down and get some good, solid technicians out there. So turning them out too soon, not training them in proper procedures. I've ran calls in the past that the technician I'm riding with doesn't even know how to use their iPad or the service site or whatever program they have. And that's very challenging to be in front of a customer and not know your pricing or your price book or even what the company offers. I'll be right along and say, okay, what's your understanding of what the company offers? I get blank looks a lot of times. So I think we need to slow the process down. The ride-alongs are great. I think they're absolutely needed to bring it back to the bottom floor. But I think in the beginning, we need to slow it down. We need to explain our expectations, company mission, the policies. We need to help the technician understand what goal setting is and why we set goals. We need to train on the procedures and how to run a call and what the company offers and why the company offers it. We need to role play in the office one-on-one with new hires or even experienced. If we hire an experienced tech, we should still follow the same procedures in the same way of training. We should role play in the office. We should make sure that they're clear on what we offer, why we offer it, what to say, how to say it, when to say it, how to close the call. By doing that, and that can be a week, it could be 2 weeks, depending on the confidence and so forth that you would have in the training. What this is going to do, by doing that, it builds the confidence in that technician inside of them. So when they're in front of your customer, they're confident. And that confidence, you know, helps that trust factor and all those buzzwords we like to say. But the bottom line is that customer senses that technician knows what they're talking about and they're a company employee and they're going to do the best for them. So they're not practicing on that customer.
So what you're saying is doing a ride along if they're not already prepared is a waste of time, I think. I mean, you know, they can see what's going along and they'll learn from it. But if you really want them to learn, they have to have been properly trained first. Is that right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So what I've got so far is prepare for the ride along by making sure that the technician is ready and make sure that two people are not talking at the same time and don't critique the call, but instead demonstrate the good call. Is that right?
That's absolutely correct. I think, you know, if we're going to want a technician to run a proper call, I believe they need to see that proper call ran. And if, you know, if it's a manager, the owner, or an experienced tech doing it, they know the policies, the procedures, and that new hire can then see how that call is supposed to be ran.
Yep. So you've been talking about this in terms of a new hire, but my guess is that you get hired and conduct ride-alongs with technicians that are not new hires as well, right?
Absolutely.
Do you conduct those ride-alongs in the same way? Are you still doing the call yourself and having the tech observe? Or in those cases, do you switch roles?
I've only switched roles twice in 5 years out of the hundreds of calls that I have ran where I've actually allowed the technician to run a call, and both times I've regretted it. What they try to do is impress me, and they should be impressing that customer. So
right.
Even with someone that is a top technician in a company, I run the call, I show them how to run the call, and I believe that that gives credibility to my training naturally. But then if I work for that company and I'm that experienced technician doing a ride along with an experienced or an inexperienced guy, either way, it builds credibility in the training, in the procedures, and that's what we need.
So what's different about doing a call with an experienced tech, one that's been doing it for, let's say, 5 years, and one that is relatively inexperienced? What would you be doing that's different in those calls?
Well, on the new side of it, I'm going all the way back to the basics and just figuring out what that new hire knows, what they don't know, and just really focusing on training them from the beginning. When I have an experienced technician with me, it's a lot of fun. I mean, it can be just so much fun doing it. You're traveling between calls. You're getting the mindset of how to run a call properly. You're maybe bantering back and forth about procedures and about what the best way to do it is. And I've learned a lot myself on ride-alongs, running calls with other technicians. So that's been great for me, too. But
sure.
When I'm running with an experienced technician, I definitely rely on their expertise as far as diagnosing calls and so forth, because it is their company and they're the ones that have to put out what needs to be done. But again, I'm the one that presents it, but I do rely on them a lot and their experience, and that tells me where they're at, and then I can help the company in that manner too. You know, this is a great deck, or he needs some help in certain areas. You know, it's a kind of team thing there. But what I also find is I end up being the sounding board for the company about everything that goes right and wrong in the company. I end up being the sounding board for it, which is fine because I can handle that. It's a great way to bring a technician back down to what he's actually supposed to be doing. You know, you shouldn't be focusing on what the office is doing. You should be focusing on what you're supposed to be doing, running calls, closing calls, and doing the work. Everything else, you know, it should be like a new drama deal where it doesn't matter what's going on. We're running the call. We got to keep our focus on running calls.
So it sounds like there's a little bit of psychology and attitude adjustment sometimes that goes into this as well. You're teaching professionalism.
Sometimes you have to get right down to a yes and no and what you should and shouldn't do. You know, not everyone is brought up the same way and understands respect and customer service and so forth. And I'm dead on that, and I'll call someone out real quick on it. The call has to be run in a certain way. And they need to understand that. And I believe that I help them grow up, frankly.
Well, you know, technicians are largely male. And as one, I think I can say that sometimes it takes us a while to grow up.
Right. Well, I'm still growing up.
What about appearance? We have a variety of opinions in our industry and a variety of presentations in our industry. Some companies are pretty strict about it. Others are very lax. Some people allow smoking and have technicians that come in reeking of cigarettes. Others are incredibly strict about it and don't allow even cologne or any odor. What do you tell technicians when you ride with them?
Well, I'm basically from the old school. I think that and I know and I believe, and it's worked for me. Of course, I'm clean shaven. I don't necessarily have a huge problem with facial hair, but I believe that if you're going to have facial hair, it should be kept in such a manner that when someone looks at you, they look at you and say, wow, I wish I could have that. As far as, you know, piercings and tattoos and things like that, I'm a, you know, no jewelry kind of guy. The tattoos, I think, should be covered. A lot of our customers, if you think about it, I mean, I'm over 50, let's say that. And what is our customer clientele? Who are we out there to see? And we need to have that utmost respect. I'm a long pants guy. I'm a uniform pants, uniform shirt, whether it's a decent polo. And I think we should be replacing our shirt from time to time.
From time to time, like once a week, you should wash it whether it needs to or not.
You know what I mean is you should have a clean shirt on every day. But what I see is a lot of times we wear them for 3 years and they're faded and, you know, they just don't look good. So we should be replacing them in that manner. But I think, you know, your appearance, when you knock on that door and you say, hi, my name is Dale, how can I help you today? And the company name and so forth, they should be looking at you. Your hair should be in such a manner that it's respectful. We need to be respectful to our customer. And the smoking, I think, isn't respectful. A lot of people are allergic to it. And you get a whiff of that smoke, it's like, ooh, you know. And I even what we say and how we say it, what we have in our pockets, the boots we wear, the tools we use, all of that is appearance, the trucks we drive. People are paying for a service, and it's no secret that professional service technicians and companies, you know, we're not cheap. And I'm not saying
we shouldn't be
so expensive, but we shouldn't be cheap, and we shouldn't have a cheap appearance and all of that. I mean, what we represent should be in such a manner that it meets what we're charging and so forth. It all goes hand in hand.
Yep. And it's a lot easier to get more work from people when they trust you. You have a professional appearance. They believe that you're going to take care of them and their families. And we're visual species. Humans pay more attention to what they see than anything else. That's just how we've evolved. And if they like what they see and what they see appears to be professional, I think it becomes a lot easier to sell them additional services and products.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I train heavily on is perception is the rule. And what I mean that is that customer's perception of you is the rule. First impression, however you want to say it, all throughout the call, they're perceiving what you say and they're watching you and they're taking stock of everything you're saying. And their perception is what's going to close that call. So you need to be right on the line.
Yep. So you've kind of digressed here onto some other stuff. And was there anything else on the ride-alongs that you wanted to cover before we wrap up?
I think that on ride-alongs, just in a nutshell, we need to make sure we're running a professional service call so that whoever's observing learns from it. That's the bottom line of it, whether we do a safety inspection, however we run that call is how we're to expect that other technician to run it. And we get to that point by the role playing and so forth in the office and making sure they know our expectations, all of those things. And I'm a real confidence guy. I think that one of the top-notch things about technicians, when someone comes to my house, if they're confident in what they're doing, if I sense that confidence, I'm more apt to buy from them. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get that confidence and that understanding that we are the professionals.
Yep. Dale, first, thank you so much for doing this with us today. I think you mentioned once that you have a ride-along guide for contractors. If I remember right, it was something like the 6 steps for successful ride-alongs. Did I get that right?
Well, it's evolving. It's the 6 plus step.
It might be 7 or 8 at this point. Okay. Right. If our listeners wanted to get their hands on that, how could they do that?
Well, the best way is to email me at dale@dalemincs.com and just ask for it.
Dale, D-A-L-E, at Dale Mincs, and that's dalemincks.com. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thank you, David. You have a great day.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.